Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of August 29th, our fifth show of the month.
Wow. Do we get a prize for that?
Overtime? Bonus? I don't know. I don't think so. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen on a Sunday morning. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
You know, hanging in there. It's summer's starting to end. It was really cool last night, so.
It was.
Yeah, it was very easy to get a good night's sleep, although it was short, but short but sweet.
Oh, cool.
All right. So we're ready to ride on this week's show. We've got an interview with Luis Cruz of the Giants, and we're going to talk about the CL and PL playoff hunts. We've got power tracks and more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so I talked to third-year import Luis Cruz of the Giants at Tokyo Dome on Wednesday, and I took some pictures of his batting gloves with the initials of himself and his family members out there, and I tweeted it out and got, like, no response. It had L, 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 and A, and that's for Luis, Luz, Luis Jr., and Alex, and then he said he's got another son due next month.
So he's going to get new gloves?
No, he's got to add an S.
Oh.
And the son's name is going to be Santiago.
Okay.
So, on the way. That's in September, so pretty soon here. Yeah. And I love talking to Luis, as you know, and I was planning, however, to go to Chiba, and I was going to try to talk to some of the Fighters guys, but the forecast called for rain, and this was a whole mess on Wednesday, because also, I was emailing back and forth with you, and talking to Wayne Grosick, and I said, look, I want to get some of the Carp guys. But the guys I wanted to get were Chris Johnson, who had pitched the night before, and Braden Higgins, who had pitched recently.
And the way who hadn't been at the ballpark the day before.
Right, and you know the way the rotation guys are handled, it varies a little bit from team to team, but normally if you throw, for example, Johnson threw on a Tuesday, he's usually not around on Wednesday. And if he is, he's not around on Thursday. And then Higgins had thrown, I think, like 2 days prior or 3 days prior, so he was expected to not be around. Well, both of the guys were there. So basically, I prepared questions for these three guys, and I got to Luis, and love Luis, and we had just talked to Garrett Jones recently, but I love Luis, and I prepared questions for all three, and then I bumped into Luis, and he was ready to go, so we got him. So
Luis is always ready to go.
Oh, you tell me. I love talking to the guy.
And he's like, wait, can you stop and do a podcast with me today? Can I help you?
No. He brings the mic.
Yeah, pretty much.
He says, welcome to your podcast.
Well, that's the one I told about Dennis Sarfate. If we sent him the file, he'd probably edit it for us.
Well, no editing needed. I think you'll enjoy what Luis has to say, so let's take a listen.
All right, we're here with Luis Cruz of the Giants. Thank you very much for sitting down with us, man.
Thank you for having me here.
It's good to see you again. You've been injured, you've been off the roster, out of the lineup, all over the place. I'm glad you're back and playing.
Thank you. It's been a rough year, but I'm battling and trying to finish strong and healthy and help the team go to the playoffs and as far as we can.
All right, now I want to say first of all, thank you for last year interpreting for the Alfredo De España interview. That was great.
Okay, anytime.
All right, man.
That's my part-time job.
You're hired.
Yeah.
All right, so looked like you had a really good season with Lotte last year. How did you end up leaving them and coming to the Giants?
I mean, it was tough. I mean, you know, like, I become a free agent in December, and they did call me and say, hey, we only can give you these for 1 year. So I was looking for like a 2-year deal. And then some other teams started talking to my agent, well, to me. It was a tough choice for me. It was some good teams.
Yeah, but I thought you had a really good year last year too.
Yeah.
Gold Glove.
Yeah, All-Star game and finished leading my team in RBIs. And it was a good year. Like, I hit .255, but with my scoring position, I did good.
It was a good .255.
Yeah.
You had a good year.
And, I feel good. So I think that's why I'm here with the Giants and one of the biggest teams in Japan. And I'm happy, you know? Like, they're giving me a chance to prove myself. Has been a little difficult this year because I've been hurt. Hurt my foul the ball to my ankle, and then try to come back early, end up like breaking my feet, my foot.
Right.
And I was out for 2.5 months.
And somebody hit you with a pitch too, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't a big deal. It was just like a bruise. But then I came back, and then my knee started bothering me, and it's been a tough year. But I mean, when I feel healthy, I think I can help the team win. And even if he's not hitting, he's defensive. My defense helped me a lot, and I think that's why, like, now I feel good. I mean, I feel good. They give me the confidence, and they've been patient. They've been patient with me, and you know, telling me to be 100%. I'm very sure we're gonna qualify for the playoffs, and that's the important thing. You know, the important part of the year, and I wouldn't be healthy for that.
Right. All right. Now, you spent some time in the Pacific League, and now you're playing this year in the Central League. What are the biggest differences that you see in the two leagues?
I think the biggest difference is pitchers don't challenge you here in the Central League. They just snivel around, and they're just waiting for you to get yourself out. And yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not too many guys they're gonna challenge you. They prefer to walk you or face the next guy than, as a foreign guy, give up a home run, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest... I mean, I didn't adjust. You know, like, it's my first year, and I think I'm doing okay. I got 8 home runs, and I'm very sure if I would be still stay healthy, I would have a decent year. And I think next year is gonna be easier because now I know the pitching, the stadiums, and this year I faced a lot of guys that I never faced before.
You know? Right, right.
That's why my first year in Lotte was difficult, and then I came last year and I put a good year.
Right.
It's the same. Like, that was the only concern I had. Like, I gotta go to a different league and they pitch you different. I mean, we don't have Otani and Kishi and all those guys that challenge you in the Pacific League. Here we have guys who throw hard, but they don't challenge you. They just try to get yourself out.
Right.
And when your timing is off, you're gonna do it. You know, like, you keep swinging at those pitches and start getting frustrated. Oh, 3-1, he's gonna challenge you. No. And then when you think they're not gonna challenge you, they come right in the middle. It's like, I faced Valdez, the Cuban guy for.
Oh yeah, for the Dragons.
He's a great pitcher. Yeah. He doesn't throw very hard, but I always talk to him and say, hey, he's like, you know what I'm thinking. Because he's always, like, pitching me backwards, like, first at bat, I get a hit of him, double. And then I face him in my third at bat with men on third. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it. So with a changeup away, and then he goes fastball inside, strike. Fastball inside. So it was 2-2 count. After 2 fastballs, so I'm like, okay, he's gonna throw me that changeup or slider. He threw me 139 fastball right in the middle, and just went because, like, he's very smart. I mean, he's a veteran pitcher, and it's one of those things. Like, here, yeah, he's some good pitchers. Like Johnson yesterday, he pitched really good, but I think in the Pacific League, there's a lot more good pitchers. Norimoto, Kishi, Nishi, Kaneko, Otani.
Yeah, Otani. Yeah. This team, I mean, you guys have, like, last night you had Wakia hit a walk-off home run. This team, it seems like no matter who's wearing the uniform, this team knows how to win. Why is that?
I don't know. I think we are a really good team. It was very difficult for me at the beginning because, you know, I came from Lotte, and you know, they let us do everything, like, we only have 4 foreign guys in Lotte, so, you know, we know we wasn't going to play. And here is a good team, so, you know, it's a lot of rules, a lot of stuff, a lot of history in the team and all that, so you got to follow and learn that. And it was difficult for me because I'm a guy that I've been playing for 60 years, and then you have to come to a new team and prove yourself again after you've been having a good years, you know, like... You got to do this, you got to run, you got to prove. First couple games, they take me out in the 7th inning, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Like, I win a gold glove last year. But it was a reason why. they don't want me to get tired, and they want to have everybody in the game. But we didn't get that in Lotte, so it was difficult because in Lotte you gotta ask, like, oh, I'm tired, man.
Yeah, give me a day off.
Yeah, but here we have so many guys, good players, that they can do that, you know? So now you just accept it and agree, and I think it's, I like it. I mean, this is a big league team. Like, how they treat you outside, where they put you, where you leave, with your family, with tickets and everything, is big league.
Mm. All right, now, you guys have a really good infield. I mean, I think Abe is improving at first base, but who's the best defensive player on the team, you think?
Sakamoto's very good. Sakamoto's very good. I don't know, man. He's one of the shortstop, what I say. He's clean every time he get the ground balls, and he's, like, fluid, and he got rhythm. And, I don't know. Abe is very good at first, too.
He's getting better.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first time I see him, and he's been playing good, you know?
Getting better. All right, now, the Giants had a little trouble scoring runs, maybe in the middle of the season now. Has the strategy changed a little bit in terms of bunting or in terms of just being more aggressive or... Anything like that?
No, you know, in baseball is up and downs, and sometimes, you know, like, some guys get hurt, and sometimes some guys struggle. So, yeah, we struggle at the middle of the year. But I think now we're playing really good, and everybody's doing their job. And if he's not a guy who plays every day, he's a guy from the bench who come and get a big hit. And I think the important thing, the reason why we're doing so good is because our pitching is really very solid right now.
Mm.
And they're giving us a chance and opportunity to, you know, create runs. And maybe one run or two runs is enough for us to win sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, has anybody in the rotation or just anybody in particular surprised you? Because I'm looking at guys like Taguchi and Otake and all those guys. And everybody who's pitched has pitched well recently.
You know who surprised me is Taguchi.
Mm.
He's really good. I mean, he's got a good control, but I think Sugano is one of the best pitchers in the league. And
definitely.
And Otake, I mean, I never see him before. I didn't see him in spring training. He was hurt. And Michaelis is pitching good.
Mm.
So I think we have a really good chance. I think our team is very complete. I'm not putting up, like, crazy numbers, but I think I can contribute
right
to the team, hitting wise or defensive wise. So I do my best when I'm struggling hitting. I do my best to play my defense, and I don't know. I think we have a really solid team.
Now you guys are still in the race for obviously the Central League title. Is that what they talk about in the meetings? Are you guys trying to win that, or are you just trying to focus on having a good postseason?
No, we're trying to cash the card, but you know, like, they have a really good players too, and we can do it. I mean, like, the game yesterday for me, it was like a playoff game for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody enjoyed it like it was a playoff game, and I think they playing good, but we're playing good too, and we still have 6 more games against them, and I think that's when everything is going to be decided.
So is it real important to beat them now, even in this series, or are you just going to try to focus on what you can do in the playoffs?
No. We're going to try to beat them any time, because if they win it, we still have to beat the other team and then play these guys. So we got to, you know, make it clear that we can beat them and make them think make our team believe that we're going to beat him.
I think your team believes that you can beat them.
Yeah.
I think there's no doubt about that.
And I think it's, like I say, no doubt, it's a really good team. That young guy, Suzuki, is good. This guy, Kikuchi, Arai-san, everybody is good. So I think he's the best defensive second baseman in the Central League.
In Japan.
In Japan.
Yeah. All right, well, good luck. We're watching you, man.
Thank you.
All right.
I gotta get you.
Oh, that's right. We got a basketball game coming, folks.
I'm going to give you 3 points.
You don't have to give me anything. You have to give me anything. I'm taking my three.
I'll give you 3 points.
I'm taking my three. I don't want your points. All right, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, I love the Raul Valdez story, and that's one reason I just like hanging out with Luis, because he tells it like it is, and he gives you basically a watered-down version when you turn the recorder on. But until then, he's really open about things. But what stayed with you afterward?
Well, I was thinking, you know, at the start of the season, the Giants got they went out and did what the Giants do. They got a new second baseman. And it hasn't helped him really any more than it usually does.
Right.
Because he's been hurt. I mean, not because he isn't a good second baseman. I mean, Kataoka's a good second baseman. He's not a really good player, but he's a good second baseman. And, you know, it's just been sort of, this is what the Giants do. Although I don't think any fault of theirs this year.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. The other thing is that I guess the talk about challenging pitchers challenging you in the Pacific League and not in the Central League. And, of course, Mauro Gomez last week said kind of the opposite, but I think that's, you know, rather than saying one's right and one's wrong, I think what happens is that when they don't know you,
right,
they're less likely to throw, to challenge you. You know, they're less likely to look for a pitch they think you can't hit and throw it in the zone.
Right.
So Mauro said the Pacific League pitchers didn't challenge him, just like the Central League pitchers didn't challenge him. But so obviously their experience, the sample size is somewhat different.
And that could be the difference in the kind of hitters they are. I don't think they look at Luis Cruz as a guy who's going to slug a lot and hit the ball over the fence, although he's quite capable. And right. Mauro is a guy who, if you make a mistake, he's going to punish you immediately. Right. That might be it.
And the other thing is that, of course, in the Central League, when Luis just came back, but when he was starting, basically the only Giants player who was even doing anything in the lineup was Sakamoto at the start of the season.
True.
And so it's like, well, here's this guy in the middle of the lineup. Am I going to let him beat me? I mean, you know... Shuichi Murata's batting behind him, and he's batting 220 with no power. So I'll let Murata hit.
Yeah, well, that's funny that you picked that out as the first thing to shed light on, or that stuck with you, because that was the same thing for me. I love Luis. Like I said, I think he watered down the comments ever so slightly for the sake of etiquette. But what he's really saying, what he's really saying about the CL is essentially most of the pitchers in his current league apparently gave up their man cards.
Oh.
You know, he said nibble, try to hit spots. They try to outweight the batters by just flirting with the strike zone and throw soft stuff. And they visit the neighborhood of the strike zone with some fastballs. But, you know, the notion of a walk is not something that strikes fear into these guys. They're just not manning up. That's what I heard.
Okay.
But he said it nicely, you know.
Oh. Hashtag high heat.
I think the other thing that was kind of interesting was playing for the, you know, his comments. And I don't want to go into too much detail here, but, you know, he talked about the adjustments of playing for the corporate Giants.
Right.
And that was not an easy adjustment for him at first.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't really happen this often. We usually listen to an interview, especially one that's, I mean, more than 10 minutes, and come back with the same things that impressed us. But that was one of the things that was on my list. It wasn't number two, but I'm thinking, I saw early on, I'm like, why are they yanking him out of this game? You know, they need his glove at the very least. And it's still kind of tight. I mean, what if the other team comes back and then you're down a bat here, or you're missing a good bat because you put Tadauchi in the game or something like that? So I couldn't get it either. But you see that he's a little bit older this year. He has some injury issues that he has dealt with. And he did say that he was tired with the Lotte Marines, and that, you know, if you needed a day off, you had to go and ask for one, or basically like, I guess a normal working man, just like a couple of days before you want the day off, go to the bosses and ask if you can get some time off. Mm. And so that was the thing that plays into what I thought about, you know, the Marines had just four imports, and so the limit on guys who can play on the top team is four, so he knew he was going to play a lot. And I remember tweeting about it earlier in the season, why are they yanking him out? So him dealing with that and being totally accepting, I'm not sure I buy the saving him from fatigue kind of defense that the team threw to him. But if he's gonna drink that punch, then that's fine. And you know, they convinced him to accept it. I think he's a really team oriented guy anyway. Yep. And he's played for big teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees. He knows, you know, just like you said, the corporate grind and what it's all about. So, I it was really fun to sit down and hear those things. So that's weird that you and I come back with the same things. That doesn't often happen. What's the matter? You're off your game, Alan.
Well, it was. No, I. Well, of course, we covered many of the same things when we talked in March.
Right.
Except that he hadn't played any Central League teams yet, because the preseason's mostly Pacific League teams. So,
right.
So I said, what's the difference? I don't know. I haven't seen any Central League teams.
Right, right. So now the thing at the end about the points that we were discussing is I think the last time Luis was on the show, or either the last time I really talked to him at length, he challenged me to a basketball game, which I think I mentioned on the show.
Right.
So we've got a game of one-on-one, and he said he's going to be back after the season sometime in November, and that we can play then. So I'll keep you guys posted, because we do need witnesses and video. and I told him, anyway, he said, I told him I've got old man's game and a Charles Barkley backside and an inside game to match it. So, and I got the quickest hands he's ever seen. And he's telling me, well, Latino players can play basketball, and I've never seen that. And I said, man, I've seen a lot of Latino guys in Los Angeles playing hoops. So don't give me that. I respect all my opponents, because I want them to respect me. So we got a game out there. Hopefully we can make it happen, but it won't happen until after the season. So we'll have to see if we can.
So
we can
set it on our calendars when we get a date.
All right. So now we recently had a Giant on, and so we talked at length about them. So we're going to basically skip over that and talking about the 10th inning walk off. Actually, that was a really good series that the Giants had with the Carp this past week. And on Tuesday, it was Ryota Wakia who hit a 10th inning walk off home run.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Jay Jackson. You had done the interview with him, so I thanked him for being on the show. And we talked for a good 10 minutes, and he was really upset about giving up that home run.
Mm.
And he said he ended up calling his agent and talking to him and calling some family members, and really kind of took it hard. And I said, yeah, well, you know, you threw the last pitch of the game. That's true. But I don't think you lost the game. I said, then the other guys who left runners in scoring position and left runners at third base with, you know, you guys had chances with fewer than two outs on some occasions. Then those guys, did they call their agents too? Because, you know, they're just as responsible for, you know, the game. I said, so you threw the last pitch, and he said, yeah, and I don't even know, you know, how that guy hit that ball. It was a ball. And I'm like, well, you know, you're a fastball pitcher, and he's sitting fastball, and did you get it where you wanted to? And he said, well, not really, but, you know, I still didn't think he'd be able to get his hands up that high.
When I saw the pitch, I thought, no way Walkie is going to do anything with this pitch. If he swings, it's an out.
Yeah. And so, you know, we talked about that stuff, and we talked about the fact that he throws a lot. And he told me something interesting, which was that he, in the States, his biggest adjustment here, because he's worked a lot of games here. And his biggest adjustment has been trying to find a place to work out before games. Especially when they're on the road. When they're on the road, he's got to find a gym, because they don't. A lot of the facilities in the States, they have a gym at the ballpark, and the guys can get there and do their lifting and all that stuff. And they just don't have that here. And so I found that really interesting.
Yeah, I've always thought about that, and the first time I've heard a player mention it. Although I know it's a problem for some.
Yeah, I remember Tyrone Woods used to talk about it, because he used to say a lot of the Japanese players don't lift enough, or in his opinion, they don't lift enough during the game, during the season. And, you know, he would be the only guy in the gym lifting, especially on game days. But he did lift a lot. So I thought that was interesting. But, He said, you know, Jay said, his agent said, well, you know, you had one bad game. Look at all the good games that you've had. And the team's not going to toss you aside for that. And apparently he's really popular with the Hiroshima fans. So I think he's got nothing to worry about. And I can't even say that it was a bad pitch. A lot of guys get, you know, they always say that this guy made one mistake all night long. And I'm like, well, no, he made several mistakes. That was the one that was hit. You know,
and I, like I said, I don't think it was a bad pitch to walk.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bad pitch either. So, all right, it's time for this month's Power Track segment with Patrick Newman. So, I talked to him earlier this week, or last week actually, it was Thursday in Japan, and he woke up early in the morning, as he usually does, to do a little bit of research and find out who had won some of the games and get his power rankings in order. And so, let's take a listen. All right, joining us for Power Tracks is Patrick Newman. How you doing, buddy? Good morning.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's still dark over there.
It's dark.
It's dark over here, too.
Yeah, I'm about a half hour or so away from sunlight.
All right, well, let's try to get finished before the sun comes up.
Okay.
All right, Power Tracks this month, what do you have for us?
Nippon Ham, number one. So as of today, they're in first place in the Pacific after a hard-fought battle with SoftBank over the last month. So they're number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hiroshima, number two, solidified their first place. Magic number is 18. So they look like they're well set on their way to their first title in 25, 26 years? Was it 90 or 91?
1991, yeah. Where'd you have them finishing? I just wanted to tease that you had the system that had the Giants finishing first.
I had the Giants. My system worked except for Hiroshima. I had them fifth.
Well, then it didn't work.
And it didn't work for Hanshin. Everybody else, I was right.
Well, then it didn't work. Well, my system didn't work. None of my systems, I should say, worked either, but I just wanted to get where you had them finishing.
No, I had them fifth entering the season, and I was wrong.
Okay, so only by 4 spots, so that's not bad.
Yeah, I was within four. I was in the neighborhood.
All right.
Yomiuri is third, so Yomiuri has done a little bit more to make it a race than I maybe saw them doing at the end of July.
Yeah, and they've really played well. They've gotten a lot of good production out of all those guys. The guys they put on the mound, Shuichi Murata hit a home run tonight, a big one. So,
yeah, Murata is finding a bit of a second wind. I mean, you guys went into some depth on that in last week's show, but he was a guy who I thought was just keeping third base warm for Okamoto going into the season, but he's not going to give it up that easily. He's sort of the Giants' version of Orion in some ways.
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, he's playing pretty good defense too, but if he's going to hit 300 for you, he's going to stay in the lineup, hitting with some power and hitting 300. Okamoto's going to have to wait another year if we get more of this next year.
Well, he's got to earn it. So, Yomiuri, Miles Michaelis is back. Utsumi is back. So, it's just a little bit too late for them to really make a run, but they'll be tough going into the playoffs. So they're my number three team.
Okay. And what about the bottom side?
Oh, the dark side.
Wait a minute. Who did you have at four?
So fourth, you know, I think in the middle tier, we basically have the teams that have performed well this season who are dropping, and then we have the teams who have been slumping who are rising. So I had SoftBank at fourth. SoftBank is under 500 for the month. They've played 500 ball against Nippon Ham, and that's kind of kept them from falling too far behind. But they've lost their lofty position. They're still second, and it'll still be a race. But they were way ahead earlier in the year. Lotte is in the midst of a big losing streak, so I had them fifth. And then we have the risers. We have Rakuten, who's shown some signs of life in the last month. Hanshin is about 500. I had them seventh. They're hanging around. Cebu, I have eighth. Cebu, you know, had a horrible July, horrible start to August, but they've kind of turned it around since Tawada threw that shutout a couple of weeks ago.
Shinsaburo Tawada. That guy, that name is so stately. I love it. I love his name.
Yeah,
he's been pitching great for them. You know, I keep talking about Takahashi.
Kona Takahashi and how much I liked the, you know, his gumption as a kid coming out of high school. But this kid, Tawata, is a little bit more poised on the mound.
Yeah, he's a little older. And,
yeah, he's a little bit older, and he doesn't get rattled so much, yeah.
Yeah, on the other side of that game, Masui had a really nice game that same day for Nippon Ham, and he's made a really nice transition to the rotation.
Zenshin Masui, I call him.
Zenshin?
Zenshin Masui. Zenshin is full body, so I'll take this out. Yeah. And then Masui is...
As anesthesia, right?
Anesthesia, yes. Yeah, so yeah, full, yes. So complete anesthesia. Yes, I call it Zen, to go with my Tomei Ningen.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, Tomei Ningen. Zenshin
Masui.
Yeah, Zenshin Masui, yeah. Yes, I don't know where my mind was there.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that probably puts you to sleep.
Yeah, I was already... My brain wasn't ready for that one.
But, yeah, he has pitched well. In fact, I tweeted while you were asleep that he seems to be the Shun Yamaguchi of the Pacific League because he was a reliever, a closer, and has pitched really well coming back emerging as a starter or re-emerging as a starter.
Yeah, I've watched all three of his starts, and, he's got a good arm. He's got good stuff. Okay. I don't get to see the relievers as much because I don't always get to stay up that late, but... yeah, he's been impressive.
All right, so now what about the bottom three?
The bottom three. I have DNA in 10th.
I'm surprised you have them that high. They're looking really bad.
Yeah, they just can't get guys on base.
They can't get guys on base, but they can't get guys out at key moments right here. And they lost three in a row to the Tigers, and the games really weren't even close.
Yeah, so they're...
They shouldn't even played them. Should have just mailed him in.
I feel so bad for Tsutsugo. If he had just one guy getting on base in front of him, he'd probably be ahead by 30 in the RBI list.
Or somebody who could, you know, bat like a 150 hitting behind him. But there's neither. Neither.
Yeah, and so this is one that you can give me credit for being right on, because that was something when we did the preseason show, that was my big topic for them, is that they needed a guy in the mold of a Kawabata who could get on base in front of Tsutsugo so that he could really knock in those runs like Yamada does for Yakult. But it hasn't happened. That threat hasn't emerged. They're kind of, I think, blowing their opportunity to be competitive for the first time since 1998, and since that team started to retire and age out.
Well, you always get credit from me, Patrick. I just tease. Like I told Jim, I tease because I tease.
Yeah, I listen to the show. All right. 11th, I have Oryx. Oryx is just a bit of a mess. They're hard to watch.
They're buffaloes. So, you ride by on a train and you shoot them dead. That's what they do.
Yeah, endangered species.
Yet they keep coming back every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe this is a team that won more games than SoftBank 2 years ago and had the MVP. So, yeah. They've got guys who can play, but they all have to do it on the same day.
Although my man Yoshio Itoi, you know, he's leading the Pacific League in stolen bases of all things. Way I saw him limping around earlier in the season, I'd never think that he was going to be the stolen base leader this year.
Yeah, well, last year, particularly in the first half of last year, I thought he was starting the downside of his career, but he's a great athlete, and he had a bounce back year this year.
Yep.
And there can only be one 12th Chunichi. So, by my observation, they hadn't scored more than four runs in a game since July 28th.
Right. They were talking about that on the radio broadcast tonight, and they finally scored a bunch of runs. And what happened?
Yeah, they got beat by a team that can score even more runs.
It was trying to hold a glass sphere in their buttery hands, their buttered up hands. They couldn't hold on to the lead, so it's just pretty ridiculous. I said all I had to say about that. I thought it was the wrong move, and it has been since they fired the manager, like it was his fault.
that they couldn't squeeze water out of rocks.
Yeah, and I think Morey seems like the wrong guy to lead that team, even in the interim. He does a great job finding foreign players, but I don't know. I don't think he's the solution. And I think they should have been more patient with Tanishige and given him a few years to develop the young core of the team. So they're bringing it on themselves. So they've got a stranglehold on the 12th position of Power Tracks, and I'll be surprised if they if some team loses enough for them to give it up.
They're not letting this go. A stranglehold on it, and they're locking themselves in a chest, and they're gonna throw themselves off a ship in the middle of the ocean with it.
But fortunately, we have one good pennant race and one okay pennant race to talk about on the other side of the team.
The other race is the Tigers coming back to get into the chase for the playoff spot, which is going to be a really good finish, I think. So if the Bay Stars can't hold on, I think the Tigers are going to, and they'll probably be tough to deal with in the playoffs as well.
So even Yakult, I would say Hanshin would be more competitive in a playoff scenario than DeNA at this stage. Even Yakult is 3.5 games out of the third spot. They only have one tie, so that kind of puts them in a little bit of a bind. But so DeNA has DeNA, when they lose, they tend to lose big. But they seem to be able to keep some games close enough to win. And, the pitching just hasn't been there. Last year, they kind of found a way to string together a month of good starts from guys like Tateyama and
Yoshinori.
Yoshinori, not last year, but this year he's on the mound. But they had guys like Roman and so forth.
Oh, last year, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and this year, I was looking at their numbers last night, and I counted close to 200 innings pitched by guys with ERAs of 7 or higher. So that's like 22 games, I think, so worth of innings. So if they can find some ways to keep those guys off the mound over the last month and get the most out of their competitive guys, so they could get back into the race too. They've got the bats for it.
All right, well, I see the sun is up now, so it's time for us to go. And we appreciate you doing the Power Track segment, and we'll talk to you next month.
Yep, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks, Patrick.
Thank you much, buddy. Always appreciate it. It's always good talking to you. So, I liked his little factoid about the Swallows pitchers having, guys with really high ERAs on the mound. That's not a good. That's normally not a good way to stay in a race, but they're still there.
Well, their starting rotation's been bad. Their relief's been bad, but they're there. So, what do you know? I think the word that caught me off guard was stately.
Shinsaburo Tawata.
Stately. I haven't heard that since the last time I watched a Batman episode.
Well, you haven't been watching Gotham, have you?
No.
Okay, well, you got to watch Gotham. Then you'll hear a lot of statelies.
Okay. You've been recharged.
All right, well, let's talk about the Central League playoff race. We're on the Magic Carpi ride.
Oh, I get that. I'm sorry, I'm a little slow today, for sure.
That's all right. My jokes are bad every day, so it doesn't matter what the speed of the listener is.
No.
The magic number is down to 14 as we head into Sunday's games. Hiroshima has 39 comeback wins, or wins in which it has had to overcome a deficit, let's put it that way. And did you see, this is why I picked this team to, and you probably didn't see the play, but this is why I picked this team to win the Central League. Did you see the play that was made in Friday's comeback win over the Dragons? It was the eighth inning, and Yohei Oshima of the Dragons doubled toward the gap in right center.
I didn't see it, no.
Okay, and Anderson Hernandez was on first. Maru gets to the ball, cuts it off before it got to the wall, and he threw the ball to Ryosuke Kikuchi, who made a perfect throw on a line from short right, and he nipped Hernandez at the plate. And that's, it was just a perfect relay throw, no bounce, And that's why I picked this team to finish first, because I thought if people are going to challenge their defense, they're going to be able to make plays. And they made another play yesterday and ended up scoring 7 runs in the tenth inning to beat the Dragons again. Kikuchi's my MVP candidate. He knocked in the winning run, but then, you know, they kind of went nuts. And then the two guys who's going to have to compete for the MVP award, Takahiro Arai hits a grand slam, and then Seiya Suzuki hits a home run. So they all three came up big. But, man, oh, man, this is a fun team to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't believe the number of come-from-behind wins they had when I heard it on TV. But, you know, wow, I'm thinking, well, their bullpen's pretty, you know. Actually, it kind of makes sense because their starting pitching has been kind of ragged.
So true, it's a good word.
So I can see where they gave up a lot of runs, and then their bullpen's been pretty good, and their offense is good. So, you know, that's sort of the combination.
Yeah, and then you look at the Giants, and like Luis said, they did want to catch them, but it's looking less and less likely. And like he said, they're going to have to beat the third place team to have a chance to play them in the second stage of this Central League Climax Series. Mm-hmm. So now I'm looking at the other races, and this race for third is really going to get interesting as it goes down to the wire, because Bay Stars haven't been playing well. The Tigers have been making a push, but it's the Swallows who are now somehow getting things in order and making a run.
Well, the Swallows were playing bad for a while and winning, and then they were playing bad for a while and losing, and now they're playing mediocre and winning. So I don't know if they're any better.
It's yeah, just, isn't this? It's
just
a strange,
the way the calendar works. I think
the calendar. It's just a strange. I mean, wins and losses. That's why I often talk about the fact that wins and losses for a pitcher can just be fickle. You know, they can tell you something or they can tell you nothing. They can lie. They can tell you the truth. I don't even know where to go with this team. Ryan Ogawa has come back and he's making more quality starts. Obviously, he had some injuries that he battled in the first half of the season and some inconsistency, but he has looked pretty good. And then other than that, you know, you just never know what you're going to get on a given night. And but they do consistently get guys on base and they do put pressure on defenses, and Valentin has been hitting for power, and they're looking pretty good, actually, for a playoff spot. But it's all close. I mean, yep. They still have they are 2.5 games behind the Bay Stars for that third and final playoff spot. All these teams have to play each other. Everybody seems to be beating up on the Dragons, who the wheels have just come off of that thing, whatever it is. I don't know if it's a bus or whatever it is, a cart. It just doesn't look very good. All right, so that's what's happening in the Central League. Now, what about the Pacific League? I think my little title on here was, "Oh, How the Mighty Have Fallen." But they'll rise again.
That was written Thursday night, yeah?
Probably. No, I think Friday. But
Friday morning.
Yeah. But they'll rise again because they have too much talent. And I fully expect the Hawks to pull this thing out. I when I saw the Fighters move into first place for the first time, I guess they bumped the Hawks out of the first place for the first time since April 18th, I think it was. My thought was, well, they're just renting. They're not here to buy.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It is time to go. But, yeah, interesting. But, of course, yeah, the Lotte Marines went into Fukuoka. And of course, they lost it in such awkward fashion, you know, in that play. Against Rockton, when they had runners on first and second and one out, and Yuki Nagita tries to make a sliding shoestring catch, I guess, if that's possible, and the ball gets past him. You know, it's a play that isn't going to save him a run if he makes it,
right?
Because, you know, if he doesn't make the play, if he keeps the ball in front of him, the bases are loaded, one out. But the ball gets away from him, and it's a three. The scorer called it a three-run inside the park home run. And, okay, well, that's what the scorer called it. Well,
yes, I know.
So,
yeah. Yeah, you're right. Even if he makes the play, it's still tied, and they still have to get more outs.
And
so.
He said the following day, that night I didn't even know I wanted to play baseball anymore. He felt so bad, but he came out, and he was the hero the next day when the Hawks beat the heck out of the Marines, and they beat the heck out of them the day after that. And at the same time, the Fighters lost their first game, so they're back where they were before that play.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one game. It's the other thing. I mean, it's the people at work were trying to get emotional about it, and I'm like, you know, I don't know, I you know, this could be over in just a brief second, you know, the situation could change, so I'm not comfortable making a big deal out of it. Let's just do what we normally do. And sure enough, that's what happened. It was just a night.
Of course, the Marines are now closer to fourth place than they are to second.
Yeah, yeah. You know, look, they haven't done well against the teams above them. Their record, they're 6-14 against the Hawks, and against Nippon Ham, they're just two games under against them. So they played them tougher. So they've done well against these other teams, like the Lions and the Eagles and Sabus and Oryx. Everybody's done well against Oryx. So,
true.
You know, but I, no matter what their regular season record is, no matter what's happening, as long as they get a playoff spot, I think they're going to be tough to handle in the playoffs. So I'm not worried about exactly where they are. I think they're going to finish in third. And it seems like their fans, including the blogger Steve, expects them to be in third place. And then, you know, they have to go from there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I fully expect them to be a tough out. So
I don't you know, obviously see what happens when they get mad or they get conscious of where they are.
But here's the thing now, and I think I touched on it a second last week, but didn't really get into this debate with you. But you know, I normally when they talk about the loss column in Major League Baseball, I don't think it's a big deal. I think it can be made up easily. But I think in Japan where you have ties. I think the loss column makes a big difference, and that's why
it
we had this.
Makes more difference, yeah. And I'm not a big fan of it, but I do agree because in Japan, you know, you'll have teams that win more games and lose the pennant.
Yeah,
because
so
they've lost more.
I think that would happen 2 years ago with the Oryx.
Sure, it happens now and then.
And so that's what I'm looking at. You've got SoftBank, and remember, SoftBank early in the season had a bunch of games where we thought the team was going to win, and then it ended up being a tie. A couple of times where other teams came back on them. So I'm just thinking that that's an advantage for them right now, and that's what had kept them in first place in by percentage points during this past week when the Fighters really gained some ground on them and got close, and they were barely in first place by, I think, a tenth of a point.
Whatever, yeah.
Whatever it was, so something like that. So it's just kind of crazy. But I think if the Fighters continue to make this thing a real good push to the end, that it's going to be it could factor in.
Well, I think so. Yeah, I'll accept that argument.
Okay.
Normally, I wouldn't, but I think you stated that pretty well.
Okay. Now, you said you suggested earlier in the week that a good topic for discussion would be the Fighters' bullpen and rotation shifts. And I think through Friday's games, the Fighters' bullpen in August had a ERA of 0.96.
Yeah, they were wrong.
So they've been doing really well on that front. And despite the fact that Shohei Ohtani hasn't seen the mound in, I don't know, a year, it seems, the rotation is getting the job done. So what have you seen?
What I was thinking actually was not that, but I was thinking about the two guys. I was looking at the guys who've pitched, who've started and relieved, and actually it's about five guys. I mean, not counting Ohtani, who relieved once. But I was thinking of the two guys who came out of the bullpen and into the starting rotation.
Zenshi Masui, who we just talked about in the...
Indeed we did.
In the Power Track segment, yeah.
I wanted to mention about that. It's not full body massage. Full body. What's the word I'm looking for?
General anesthesia.
That's the word. General anesthesia. So not only did he get promoted from the bullpen to the starting rotation, he got promoted from captain of the bullpen to general of the anesthetics.
Well, this guy, I remember I saw a feature on him in the preseason where because they went to San Diego, the Fighters did it for camp. He was talking to Trevor Hoffman and trying to get some advice about pitching in general, especially what to do with a changeup and with off speed or secondary pitches. And then he came back and he was a mess as a closer. And so we're seeing the Shun Yamaguchi of the Pacific League with him coming out and putting together four really good starts. I mean, his first one on August 4th, 5 innings, no runs, and then on the 11th, 7 innings, 2 runs. on the 18th, 7.1 innings and one run, and then complete game, one run victory on the 25th. So just fantastic work from him.
Well, with him, it was my fighter's source told me, it was basically he couldn't command his splitter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what got him sent to the minors. So I was thinking about Masui and Hiratoshi Takanashi. Well, Takanashi was good in middle relief.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you know, he's pretty good in middle relief. Let's try him as a starter. And between the two of them, as relievers, they went 5-4 with 2 holds and 10 saves in 44 and two-thirds innings. Now, most of the bad stuff is Masui. He had an ERA of, like, 100.
Hashtag high.
No, I'm joking. It was over 5. But as starters, they're 7-1 in 85 and a third innings with a 0.89 whip.
Wow.
And a 1.48 ERA. That's before Takanashi's start on Saturday night.
That's turning it around.
Mm.
That's difference making.
And they also took Anthony Bass out of the rotation and made him sort of a starter and reliever. He's done both.
Right. I think more starting recently.
Mm. Yeah, he's going back to starting now.
Mm-hmm. And then Chris Martin?
The closer, sure.
Martin as the closer has been really, really good.
Yep, all-star. And he was like a closer for like 1 month, and they made him an all-star.
Yeah. So this is part of the reason that the Fighters have been able to make up so much ground. Of course, the Hawks have fallen back to earth a little bit too, so that's made a difference. But, you know, the whole thing, I think the whole race to the end, including, third-place situation, the Eagles, they're 6.5 games back. And, you know, if they go on some kind of crazy run, they could put some pressure on Lotte. But I just find that the Marines are going to win the games against the lesser teams, and they're going to win their share of games against the Fighters and the Hawks of the Pacific League as well. So I just see them solidly locked up in third place.
Okay.
All right, one note here. Shohei Ohtani last night, and this was on Saturday, hit his 20th home run. He's obviously got his career high in home runs, but he's second on the team in homers in only 88 games. Mm. And I was trying to look up his home run rate versus everyone else's home run rate, because Brandon Laird also homered in their victory last night, helped them beat the Lions. And he has 30 home runs, but Ohtani's got 20 in a lot fewer games. So did you have that home run rate? I mean, he's got...
Well, before Saturday, he was one home run per 12.8 at-bats, which was fourth best in NPB behind Hotaka Yamakawa, Yamada, Tetsuto Yamada, and Yoshitomo Tsutsugo.
Wow.
So, and pick the guy who hits in the pitcher's league in the pitcher's park.
Yeah. So. This is just awesome. And he has 20 home runs, so they're 14-5-1 mm-hmm. in games when he has homered. So and recently his homers have come late in the late innings and been difference makers, either putting the team ahead or adding on like a run in a close game. So it's been really valuable stuff that he's doing. Just looking really good as a hitter, and I want to see him on the mound again soon. Mm. And you said something before we started taping, which I did see the story that said that he said, I'm ready to pitch.
Mm. Yeah, well, he's ready to pitch, he says, and I think he wants to pitch. And now they're saying, well, not so fast, because, you know, they have they're basically dealing with the Babe Ruth dilemma.
Which is?
What happens when your best pitcher is also your best hitter?
You put him out there, for goodness sakes.
Well,
and let him win games for you.
Well,
on both sides. Yeah.
Well, that works fine, but I think what they're saying is, well, look, and actually the Fighters' record when he doesn't pitch and he hits, they're 642, and they're 625 when he hits, you know, when he's pitching as a starting pitcher.
Wow. Yeah.
So. And he's by far, I think he's easily, because he's only played about two-thirds of a season.
Right.
It's hard to compare, and he's not an established hitter, but his OPS, was, as I mentioned, playing in a pitcher's park in a tougher league, and a pitcher's league, is right. third best in NPB.
Get him on the mound.
Behind Tetsuto Yamada and Yoshitomo Tsutsugo. I would... it's not... I think it is far-fetched to say he's the best hitter in NPB, mm-hmm. but it's not that far-fetched. And the and here's the thing, and I'll have to say this, that if he had a full season like this, I think mm-hmm. You might not see him pitch again.
Yeah.
Because he's just... Because position players who can do what he can do are just more valuable than starting pitchers.
Got to be out there helping every day.
Exactly. So, yeah. And I think the fighters are saying, look, you're helping us more batting 6 days a week than you are 3 days a week and pitching once a week.
That's an interesting take. So, yeah, so, the Babe Ruth dilemma. I like that.
So, it's kind of interesting for all the people who said, you know, when's he going to give up the hitting?
Yeah, because a lot of these people and a lot of the old farts, and, you know, I like to watch Pro Yaku News, and a lot of the old farts who used to say, man, he's really got to give up this hitting thing. It's getting in the way. Have just totally flipped this year, and they're all saying, wow, you know, he's a really good hitter. He should concentrate on that. Or not. They haven't gone that far yet, but they say, yeah, he's a really good hitter. He's one of the best hitters I've seen. And this, you know, this hitting thing is pretty good, but I want to see him pitch too, you know.
Right.
And so they've totally bought in.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting because I've had, you know, as I said, I had, you know, Scott Matheson told me that he'll never be a hitter like Hayato Sakamoto or Shinosuke Abe, so he should give it up and concentrate on his pitching because he's, you know, he's 21 years old and he doesn't know how to pitch.
Right, right.
So, and I love Scott because he says what he thinks, but I have to think that if he were to get that same question again, he might think, well... He is the best hitter in the league. So, maybe. But
okay.
But he should, I'm sure Scott would say, no, he should concentrate on his pitching because, you know, they'll say few people can throw 100 miles an hour, and that's true, but few people can also be the best hitter in your country.
Right, right. So. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, the first one is from Coaster Freak, and he says, who is expected to be the manager of the Dragons in 2017?
Mm.
And he says also a bonus if there's anything updated on the 2017 Lions situation. So the first one is, I saw a story this past week that said that about the Dragons, that said owner Bungo Shirai is looking for someone who is going to put all his thoughts into baseball.
Wow. John.
No, not one team. I'm not going to be that guy. But the last paragraph in the piece said the working assumption is that Michihiro Ogasawara, who is the farm team uh-huh. manager this year, is on deck.
Okay.
But it was kind of vague, and you know, Japanese can be a very vague language. So kind of vague means very vague in real language. So. Who knows? We haven't heard much about it. I'm not convinced that the, you know, and Shige Kazumori is in a really bad situation because the players had the carpet ripped out from under them. So they're trying. They really are trying, but you know, there's just not a lot to play for. As for the Lions, I saw a report saying that they'd like to create a club in the image of SoftBank.
Right.
And that we talked about the notion that Koji Akiyama, the former Seibu star, would be high on their list, but officials said they're just willing to go outside the parameters of the team to find someone to manage the team. So it won't be necessarily a call up of the second team manager or anything like that. They're gonna look deep, but I haven't heard anything new. What about you?
I haven't heard anything. I know Charlie Manuel's looking for a job. Maybe they'll take him.
Yeah, we do know that Charlie Manuel is very interested in coming back to Japan and being a manager. So, yeah, hopefully he gets a shot somewhere. But I don't know that it's going to be with the Dragons, and I don't know that it's going to be with the Lions. But that could be something new for them.
Yeah, 72 years old is new for the Lions.
Well, no, just going. They said they're willing to go outside of the team parameters, so that's one part. And then a foreign manager, that's one. So, all right, and then we got an email from Stuart Miller, and he says, "Do you think the Carp have found something in using Braden Higgins as a starter?"
Well, I mean, when I talked to Jonathan Fine, the assistant GM for the Carp in December, he said basically, we know we were prepared for Maeda being posted, and we didn't know how the starting rotation was going to shake out. So basically, his instructions were find somebody who can start and relieve.
Right.
And that was the guy.
I know from talking to the team on Wednesday that Higgins was brought over because he could do both, and he was preparing to do both. And I think actually he was doing both. He was going to be a starter. They were grooming him to be a starter in spring training. It just didn't happen that way at the end. But I can tell you, and this happened yesterday, Daichi Oseda coming out of mm-hmm. the bullpen, and Kazuki Yabuta, hard-throwing right-hander. I like both of those guys coming out of the bullpen. And actually, I prefer either of those options to Takeru Imamura, the guy I used to call the run producer. Mm. But maybe I just need to let go of that old image I have of him. But he did okay. Mm. He does okay, but I like those two better. So if Higgins is a starter, and we only have two games, and he pitched five innings and one game and then six innings in the next game, and he had good success, but I don't think we can start singing and dancing about what he's doing yet.
Well, we don't generally sing and dance anyway.
I do. If you could call what I do dancing.
Not on the show.
So yeah, I'm not willing to go out and say this is a permanent fix or a solution, but I am happy with what I've seen from him as a starter. But I think he was really good. I mean, I saw him come into some real tough situations in some games. They put him in the middle of innings when there were runners on, and he's pitched really well. So, could be. But the Carp look really good. They need to set their rotation and then figure out what they're going to do in the playoffs to get to the Japan Series. But they look really good. One last thing, I wanted to thank NPB Reddit for the baseball monk image he sent to me this past week. I put it on my personal Facebook page. I got more than 40 likes there. I put it on the JBW Facebook page. Got more than 10 likes there, and a bunch on Twitter. And everybody likes it, so thank you very much, Reddy. And really appreciate it. Anyone else who has questions, and thank you to Coaster Freak and Stuart. Send your questions by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat@JBWPodcast, or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening. See ya.
Enjoy your baseball.